Well, good evening, everybody. Were you blessed by the worship? Come on, give the Lord a big hand of praise. Amen. I know that there are some of you here tonight, you don't really speak Afrikaans. I don't know what you're going to do when you get to heaven one day, but we'll cross that bridge when we get there. But the song that we just sang is called, if we directly translate it, A New Generation. A Nuwe Generasie. And you know what? That song is prophetic. That song is prophetic because that is exactly what God is busy raising up even now as we speak. God is raising up a new generation that doesn't mind being different. A new generation that would dare to be different. That refuses to conform to the standards of this world. Would you like to be part of that generation? Would you like to be part of a generation that walks in the darkness shining brilliantly with the fire of God radiating through you, leading those that are lost to salvation? The first row, yeah, would like that. I don't know about the rest of you. Wow. Well, bless God for that. Bless God for that. And that is exactly what God is going to do. God is raising up a new generation. You know what? For a long time, the devil has got away with a lot of nonsense. Worldliness has crept its way even into the church. God has said enough is enough. It is time for change. It is time for a new generation to rise up. And this generation has nothing to do with your age. Please look at your neighbor and say, there's hope for you. Now, don't you go taking that the wrong way. Your neighbor might be 10 years old and there's hope for them. Because this generation that God is raising up has nothing to do with age. It has nothing to do with ethnicity. It has nothing to do with where you come from. It has nothing to do with your background. Whether you be charismatic, whether you be conservative, whether you be traditional, whether you be whatever. All God wants is a heart that is ready. A soul that says, I want to make a difference. And you will receive what God has for you to be a blessing to a world that is suffering and dying right now. A new generation. That is what God is raising up. A new generation. And I'm part of that generation. Bless God for that. And I believe you are part of that generation. In order for us to do what God has called us to do, I want you to do something a little bit different tonight. How many of you know that it's okay for a new generation to do things differently in the church? You know what? All this like, sit hier standaard, do this, do that. What does that help? Nothing. But when you are obedient to God, when you hear the voice of the Holy Spirit and you act upon it, the blessing of God is released. Men and women of God throughout the ages have dared to be different, and God's blessing was released through them amongst His people. Hello? It's time for us to start doing different things. Not because we want to, not because we're trying to make a big deal out of nothing, but because that's what God wants us to do. I would like you to stand. So what are we going to do tonight that is different? Let me tell you. How many people do you know that are not saved? Yes, including your mother-in-law. How many people would you say do you know that are not saved? Within your sphere of influence. I'm not talking about, yes, probably we could argue, oh, my whole street, yes. Especially the oak that plays his volume like 100% until 4 o'clock in the morning. I know that you've got that man on your heart. Yes, we have to bring him before God. But probably within your sphere of influence, you know at least 10 to 20 people that you have daily interaction with or weekly interaction with, and you know that they are not saved. Would you agree with me that it is not God's heart for them to perish, but that He gave His Son, Jesus Christ, so that they might inherit eternal life? Do you think God wants them to be saved? Can you play a role in their salvation? Should you play a role in their salvation? Now you're going to say to me, yeah, but Rian, you don't understand. I'm not an evangelist. I do understand that. But you could make a difference tonight. And I'm going to tell you how. The kingdom of God operates by faith. Look at your neighbor and say, by faith. The kingdom of God operates by faith. Before the hand of God moves, faith has to be released. When faith is released, faith ushers in the working of the Spirit of God and the hand of God begins to move. Now, you might not be an evangelist, but you have some faith, don't you? The Bible says, we have each received a measure of faith. Even if you are here tonight for the very first time, you have never ever attended church, you have some faith in you because God chose to bless you with some when He put you on this earth. Probably you haven't discovered it yet. It's time for you to discover it. Now by faith, we can do something for those people. Amen? There was a man that came to Jesus one day and he said, Lord, Lord, my master has sent me to bring you to go and pray for his son who is busy dying. But I realize that, Lord, if you just speak a word, it will happen. Jesus looked at that man and he said to him, you know what? Even amongst my own people, I have not seen such faith. Go, it will be as you have asked. And the Bible says from that very hour when the servant started going back to his master, the fever or whatever it was left the child and the child was healed. He sat up and he was healed. Did Jesus have to go there and touch the man? No. What happened? Faith was released and faith moved the hand of God. Say with me, God is omnipresent. So right now he is with your mother-in-law. He is with your grade 7 or grade 9 teacher that's always picking on you. He is with a school bully that's always making fun of you. Whoever you have on your list of people that need to be saved, God is with them right now. But what he's waiting for is for faith to be released so that God can do the impossible. Please say with me, tonight God is going to do the impossible. Now, you know a lot of people that need to be saved. The men that Jesus called to be disciples, what were they when he called them? They were fishermen. They were used to taking their nets and they would cast their nets out by faith because they can't see what's under the water. And then by faith they would begin to pull them up. And guess what? 9 times out of 10, there was something in the net. What would have happened if they never cast out the net? What would have happened if they sat in that boat and they said, oh, you know what? We cast it out yesterday and nothing happened. Probably nothing's going to happen again. Let's just go home. They would have died of hunger. They would have gone nowhere. Because of their faith, they could make a living. And then they came to Jesus. And the one day Jesus spoke to them and he said to them, listen, you guys, I've got some interesting news for you. No longer will you be fishers, but from today you will be fishers of men. And God said that throughout the ages, discipleship means the following. Teach others what I taught you. From the very first disciples, nothing has changed. Everybody that comes to Jesus becomes a fisher of men. Please wave your hands in the air and say with me, I choose to be a fisher of men. Right now. I like that optimism. Can you be a fisher without a net? Would Jesus have called you to be a fisherman if he didn't choose to equip you? No. So all of you have a net that you probably never knew about. Hello? These things work by faith. Put your hand in there and say, Lord, thank you for my net. Right. Just be very careful so that you don't slap the oak next to you with your net. Now, yeah, you've got your net. What is the purpose of the net? It's to catch what? Barber? Kabeljo? Souls. Clever. The purpose of this net is to catch souls. Now, you remember those people that we spoke about just now that need to be saved? Would you say that they qualify? Oh, yes, they do. Some of you are thinking of your husband right now. Good, good. Bring him before God. Bring him before God. And all the issues and all the problems and all the attitude. Some of you are thinking of your teenager right now. Yes, yes. Bring them before God. Now I want you to take this net and say the following with me. Lord Jesus Christ. I believe tonight by faith that I have been commissioned to be a fisher of men. And I don't take this lightly. I'm going to do something about it right now. By faith, I'm going to cast this net and I'm going to bring in big fishes for the kingdom of God. You can run, but you cannot hide. This net will find you. It is guided by the Holy Ghost, empowered by the fire of God. This net cannot fail. Devil, it's time to tremble. Because this net will set the captives free. By faith, I cast it in Jesus' name. You go and find your target. Now, it's found its target. Begin to pull them. Pull them. Pull them. By faith in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We pull in these people. Come on, do this. Do this by faith. Pull them in. Pull them in. Pull them in. Every person that was brought before God in the name of Jesus Christ, we call you into the kingdom of God. Something is going to happen in your life. Something is going to change. Satan, you let them go. Devil, you spit them out in the name of Jesus. You spit them out in the name of Jesus. We claim you for the kingdom of God. We claim you for the kingdom of God in Jesus' holy name. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Give the Lord a big hand. Thank you. You may be seated. God wants a new generation. A new generation does things differently. You can't keep doing things the same way over and over and over again and expect a different result. Have you noticed that our churches are drying up? Come on. I don't want to offend you, but some of you are in churches. You know that you know that you know that that church is dead. Nothing's happening there. People don't go there anymore. It's time for change. It's time for things to be different. God wants things to be different. God is waiting for men and women to rise up and say, I choose to walk by faith and not by sight. It's time for men and women to rise up and become a new generation that brings in godly change and that doesn't bow to worldly influence. You are that generation. I am part of that generation. You, come here. Come here. Stand behind him. Stand behind him. Come. No, you. Come here. Raise your hands. Look in my eyes. The Lord says, it's time to stop running. It's time to stop running. It's time to stand. Change has knocked on your door a lot of times. The change that God brings will bless you and not curse you. The change that God brings will prosper you. The change that God brings will change you. Son, you are going to change lives for the kingdom of God. Listen to me carefully. You are going to change lives for the kingdom of God. You have heard of the fire of God, but you have never experienced it yourself. It is going to start burning in your life like you have never experienced anything before. A passion is going to rise up inside of you. You are going to become contagious. Wherever you go, you are going to start lighting fires. Do you hear what I am saying, son? Do you accept this word? Do you believe that God can do this? Because he's going to. Raise your hands. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, I speak to the fire inside of this man. Begin to burn, begin to burn, begin to burn, 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 burn. Burn. Stretch out your hands towards him. All of you, stretch out. Burn, 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 burn. Brightly, brightly. brightly, brightly, brightly. No more running. No more running. No more running. It's time for change. It's time for change. A new generation. A new generation. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Right. Now you look at these people. You look at them. Now you tell them what just happened to you.
Ja, het brand in die Heilige Gees.
You felt something start burning. Where did you feel it? There. Is it still burning? Right. God put something inside of that boy. Why did he put it there? Because he has to become contagious. Is he contagious right now? I'm going to show you that he's contagious. I'm going to show you. Come here. You say you received something from God tonight? Can you feel it burn? Just put your hands in there and say, thank you, Jesus. Are you ready to release what God has given you? The fire of God. Kan het ooit opraak? How do I say that in English? Can it ever burn out? No, because it is released by the Spirit of God himself. Amen? It's not going to get weaker, it's going to get stronger. Put your hands out towards this boy and say, in Jesus' name, the fire will become stronger. Every single day, it will burn stronger. Stretch out your hands towards this woman. Just keep your hands there and say, I release this fire into your life. Begin to burn with a passion for souls. Begin to burn in the Holy Spirit. Just keep your hands there. Just keep your hands there. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm just going to let them stand like that. Just watch. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Blaas oor haar. Steek jou hande uit. Stretch out your hands. What did the Lord say is going to happen? The Lord says you're going to light fires. What is happening to this woman right now? Come, get up and come and have a look. All of you, come forward and come and have a look. Come look. Have you ever seen somebody burn? What is happening to this woman? Somebody say, she's burning. Amen. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a big hand, please. Take my hand. I want you to listen to me carefully. Today is a day of change. Today is a day of joy. Your family will rejoice because of this day. Amen. Be blessed. Thank you. Sit down. Praise you, Jesus. 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 Praise you, Lord. We're busy speaking about Satan's influence in music. Satan's influence in music. Before I speak on that, I would like to share a couple of thoughts with you. Firstly, I want to say this. I've been on this road a very long time. I don't doubt that the devil is real. I know that he's real. I've seen what he can do. I've also seen what God can do. Satan is a Mickey Mouse compared to God. But never underestimate him. Because he is powerful. The Bible says, submit yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The problem today is people don't want to submit themselves to the hand of God. They want to submit to everything else. The New Age, Allah, Buddha, Kabbalah. Whatever new fad is coming up in Hollywood, people will submit to that. And then they cannot understand why their lives end up falling apart. The only way for the devil to flee from you is if you submit to God. And for you to submit to God, it means you have to humble yourself before God. I'm going to say to you that a lot of people in this room find it difficult to do that. You find it difficult to humble yourself before God. Why? It shouldn't be difficult. He's in charge, isn't he? He created you, didn't he? We find it difficult to submit before God because we want to be in charge of our life. And right now I'm speaking to a couple of people here. We want to be in charge of our life. We want to decide what we do, when we do it, and how we do it. You couldn't give a hoot what God says. You are not submitting to God. Guess what? With that attitude, the devil gets away with murder every single time he comes for you. In fact, he has stopped coming for you. Because you are so lost, it's not even funny. To submit to God means to acknowledge that He is sovereign. And the word sovereign means God is in charge. He does what He wants, when He wants, how He wants, and not what you want. Do you know how often when we do counseling, we have to deal with Christians who are throwing tantrums because God doesn't allow them to do what they want. No, I don't want to go to church. I don't want to read my Bible because God doesn't do this and God doesn't do that. Now there's your problem. Since when does the created tell the creator what to do? When was the last time you took a pot out of your cupboard? And the pot said, I refuse to cook mealies for you because I never wanted to be a big pot anyway. Does the pot get to choose? No. So why do you think you can choose? When God created you, He had a purpose for your life. When God created you, He took a step back. Just like in the beginning, when He created the heavens and the earth, He took a look at you and He said, it is good. She is good. He is good. God is excited about you. God is excited about what He's called you to do. God is excited about what He has put inside of you. Isn't it time you become excited about who you are? But a lot of us, we fight what is inside of us. We fight what God has called us to do. We don't like it. I actually wanted to be somebody else. Now there's your problem. Trying to be somebody else means rebelling against God. Submit yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. There are a lot of believers that rebuke the devil, but they have a very false sense of security because the devil doesn't run from them. Because before the devil will run, you have to be submitted to God. You have to put him in charge. God needs to have the reins of your life because He knows where you're supposed to go. Every time you take the reins, you go off the path. Why is it not a good thing to go off the path? Well, there's one idea. You get lost. There's another thing. The Bible says that Jesus has equipped us to trample on serpents and on scorpions and over all the power of the devil. Where do you find lots of serpents and lots of scorpions? In the bush. You don't find them in the path. How many times do you travel up and down the same road every day? When was the last time you saw a snake there? But stop your car and cruise into the bush. Your chances of stepping on a snake increase exponentially because you are no longer on the path.
Hello?
A lot of people get bitten by many spiritual snakes, which is just another way of talking about demons, because they are not on the path. Because they took the reins and they want to go where they want to go. They are not on the path God chose for them. They are on the one that they chose for themselves. And they step on one snake after the other, after the other, after the other. And they can't understand why things don't go well for them. People don't like it when we speak about the devil in the church. Where do you want us to speak about him? Isn't it in church that God speaks to you, that God equips you, that God trains you up to live a victorious life? Yes. How many of you like that verse that says, we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ that gives us the strength? Just wave at me. We are more than conquerors. You know, a lot of us, we like to say that word. We like to stand on that scripture. We are more than conquerors. How are you feeling? Are you burning? She's burning. Stand still. Stand still. You know what's interesting about fire? If you take a stick that's burning, and you touch another stick that's not burning, and you let them touch one another for long enough, whether the other stick wants to or not, he will burn. He will burn. Does God give you fire so that you can hog it for yourself? Or does God give you fire so you can spread it? So I'm thinking she must spread some fire now. I'll get there now. You come here. Yes. Take your hands. Just take your hands. I want you to say with me, Lord Jesus, I release this fire into this woman in Jesus' name. Just hold your hands there. The fire will burn. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oops. Oops. Something is burning. It's not your wife's cooking. Something is burning. Praise God. Praise God. Come on, give the Lord a big hand, please. My friend, the fire of God is real. The power of God is real. Just because you don't believe in it, doesn't take away any of its power. You rob yourself not believing. You don't rob God. You just impress the devil by not believing. Nothing else. Probably a lot of us in this place tonight, we come from churches where you've never seen this stuff before. Well, that's just sad, because this is how the kingdom of God works. How do you think it was possible for a woman walking with the issue of blood for, what was it, 18 years, to simply walk up to Jesus and just touch the hem of his robe and instantly be healed and know in herself that she was healed? And how is it possible that Jesus knew that power just left him, that he could turn around and say, who touched me? The disciples looked around and they said, Lord, that's crazy. There's like 20 people around you. How can you say who touched you? Everybody is touching you. But one person was touching with faith. What is it that moves the hand of God? Faith. The 19 other people around Jesus just wanted to be around him. But there was one person that came with faith, believing that she would be healed. Guess who got healed? The one with faith. Say to your neighbor, I need more faith. Because when you come to God and you believe and you have faith and the anointing is there, things begin to happen. Things begin to happen. That woman walks up to Jesus. She's got an issue of blood. Let me explain to you how bad this is. In the days that she lived in, if you were bleeding, you were unclean. You had to be outside the limits. You weren't allowed to be around people. She had been bleeding for 18 years. How scary is that? For 18 years, she had lived as a social outcast. Even when she was around Jesus, she was breaking the law. She wasn't supposed to be there. She had no life. She felt rejected by men. She felt rejected by women. She probably felt despicable in herself. What did Jesus come to change? The lives of people. Does that include those that are rejected? Yes. Does that include those that hate themselves? Yes. Does that include those that feel that they have no hope? Yes. Does this woman fit all the bills? Yes. So why shouldn't she receive? And she touched him. He didn't pray for her. He didn't command the sickness to go. He did nothing. She touched him with faith. And something happened. The power of God through the anointing of the Holy Spirit, let's call it just for tonight, the fire of God, jumped. And where the fire goes, it burns up stuff. What would you say gets burnt up by the fire of God? That which is not from God. Is sickness from God? Oh, it's going to burn. Is anger from God? It's going to burn. Is rejection from God? Is fear from God? Is anxiety from God? Hopelessness? Doubt? Unbelief? Insecurity? Ooh, so there's a lot of stuff that can burn when the fire starts moving. When she touched Jesus, there was something inside of her that could burn. It was called sickness. The fire jumped into her. When the fire got into her, it immediately sought out the sickness. The sickness was burnt up. The Bible says from that moment, the blood stopped flowing. She was healed. Why? Because the anointing of God was there. The fire of God was burning upon the life of Jesus. Fire is transferable. Please look at your neighbor and say, good news. The fire will jump. Listen to me carefully. The fire is going to jump. I don't care who you are. You got some stuff that needs to burn. Quickly phone your husband and tell him come to church now. The fire of God is contagious. God never gives it so that you can just become fat with it. He gives it so that you can give it out. And can I tell you something? When it comes to money, if I have 1,000 rand and every time somebody comes and I give them 100 rand, I can help 10 people and that's it. But you can't run out of the anointing because it doesn't come from you, it comes from God. Upon Jesus Christ, the Bible says, was the Spirit of God without measure. How's that? Upon the Lord Jesus Christ was the Spirit of God without measure. In other words, you can measure how much fuel is in your tank. You can measure how much water runs into your bath. You can measure how much water is in this bottle. But there is no measurement for the anointing. It's limitless. It's limitless. So you don't have to walk around thinking, ooh, I've touched 3 people today and I've given a word of knowledge or I've helped or I've prayed for 3 people and so now I better just stop because I'm going to run out of power. Can I tell you how it works? How many of you know how a river starts? A river starts as a little stream, but then it begins to eat into the ground. And then it creates enough space for more water to flow. And that more water eats into the ground even more. And now more water can flow. And then that eats into the ground. And what was a little stream, it starts as a trickle that becomes a stream, that becomes a river, that becomes a flood. The more you use it, the stronger it will flow. Hello? The more you use it, the stronger it will flow. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, if we are thirsty, we should come to Him. Why? John 7, verse 37. If you are thirsty, come to Me and drink. Why? Because the water that He gives, just stand there, the water that He gives is not normal. If you drink from this bottle, you will thirst again. But if you drink the water Jesus gives, you will never thirst again. In other words, the supply is limited. This will run out. What Jesus gives cannot run out. The anointing of the Holy Spirit is sometimes a fire. It is sometimes a river. The fire is there to burn up the rubbish. The river is there to give back life. You can touch somebody with your one hand and the fire jumps into them and burns up rubbish. You touch them with your other hand and a river begins to flow, giving back life. Giving back life. How are you feeling? You feel hot? Are you burning? You're sweating. You're not a teenager, hey? You don't get like all these, like there's a sexy boy hanging around there and you're like, oh, ooh. Now I'm just checking, you know, women are strange things. We don't always understand them. There's probably a man sitting here thinking, yeah, you know, she's just got the hots for me. Don't flatter yourself, man. All right. What is happening to her? She's burning. She's under the power of God. You can see there she can't even stand still. That is a female thing, let me just tell you. If she was in a shopping mall now, it'll be... But she's not. She's in church. This is the power of God. This is the power of God. Amen? Well, bless God. Now, if the fire could jump from the first man to the second lady, to the first lady, to the second lady, what's happening? The fire is contagious. The fire is contagious. The Lord has given me a word. There are many of you that is here tonight because you had to see this, because you never believed. Because you never believed. Just go and... And tonight is the night that you are going to have to choose whether you believe in the power of God or not. Because you have been taught that these things do not happen anymore. If you walked with Jesus, I'm not going to preach on music tonight, so forget about that. If you walked with Jesus, I'm sorry, Ed, next week maybe. If you walked with Jesus, what would you see? Come. A day in the life of a disciple of Jesus Christ. In other words, you are Peter, you are John, you are Luke, you are Matthew, whoever it is. You are walking with Jesus. What did you just see today? What did you see? No, man, not today, today. How's your brain? You must be from Springs. Huh? You see miracles. Give me an example, man. Come on. Yes, Jesus touched the blind man. In fact, how weird is this? Jesus didn't just touch the blind man. He spat in his eyes. and the man began to see. If that happens in the church today, how many of you know we'll be kicked out? Go figure. All right. He walked with Jesus. He saw the blind eye open. What did you see? The leopard. Oh, the leper. She saw the leopard get cured. Maybe this is a Greek thing and it gets lost in translation. I'm not sure, you know. Yes, the leper just got healed. Bless God. What did you see? Yeah, she saw a crippled person begin to walk. What did you see? Wow. Listen, yeah, I want to pray for you afterwards. She saw the water turn into wine. I'm worried about her mind, yeah, you know. Oh, she went to forest. Yeah, that explains a lot. It's a school there in Joburg. You guys won't understand. What did you see today when you walked with Jesus? You saw the Holy Spirit moving around. Doing what? Give me an example. Healing people. You know, the Bible says there were some places where Jesus healed every sickness and every disease. Do you know that today there are many sicknesses and many diseases that medical science cannot heal? But Jesus healed every sickness that was there and every disease that was there. If you were a disciple and you walked with Jesus 2,000 and something years ago, you would see the supernatural power of God be made manifest in your presence every single day. How's that? You would see it. Is it easier to believe because of what you heard, or is it easier to believe because of what you see? Well, there you have it. Jesus, listen to me, had a ministry of signs, wonders, and miracles. Every day that you walked with him was an amazing day. It was a wow day. You know, Jesus, his miracles were not just walking on water, healing the sick, and casting out devils. His miracles were also sometimes creative, in a sense that on two different occasions where there was thousands of people and there wasn't enough food, through him God multiplied the food. Now, on the one occasion where Jesus felt sorry for the people, the Bible tells us that Jesus looked at the multitudes and he felt sorry for them. Do you know why he felt sorry for them? Because the Bible says they had been with him for 3 days and three nights. Hello? 3 days and three nights. That is a long time. Why were the people there for 3 days and three nights? They couldn't believe what they were seeing. Something seriously powerful has to happen to keep you in one place for 3 days and three nights. There's some of you, yeah, you like to watch TV. After 2 days, you've had enough. Okay, probably there's one or two of you here that'll prove me wrong. But can you understand how powerful it was to be where Jesus was? Why didn't the people want to go home? Because they couldn't wait for what was coming next. They couldn't wait. For 3 days and three nights, they had no food. For 3 days and three nights, probably they had very little sleep because they were out there in the open on the mountain. But they didn't care. Today we go to church and the pastor takes 10 minutes longer and everybody's like, I'm going to find another church. I'm going to complain next week. I'm going to send an anonymous letter. Come on. Yes. Yes. These people follow Jesus for 3 days. Not going home, not eating, having very little sleep, probably being very uncomfortable. They didn't care. How well was it to walk with Jesus? That should give you some idea. Now, why did they stay with him? Because they saw the power of God. They saw the power of God. The ministry of Jesus Christ was a ministry of signs, wonders, and miracles that revealed to people the power of his Father. And through the revelation thereof, people could see the love of God for them. The purpose of the ministry of Jesus was reveal to the people who God is. People could see. There wasn't one or two people that followed him. There was thousands. Do you know why today we find it difficult to get people to follow in the footsteps of the kingdom of God? Because we expect them to just take our word for everything. Because we treat the Bible as a history book, as if these things happened then, but they cannot happen now. Jesus had no problem showing people that God is real, that his power is real, that his kingdom is real. Why should it be an issue for us? Is it easier to get somebody to believe because you tell him this is the way it is? Or is he going to believe a lot easier because he just saw it? They will believe because they see. Now, there is a scripture that says, when the Pharisees came to Jesus, they said to him, they want a sign that he's the Messiah. And Jesus answered them and he said, you wicked generation, no sign will be given unto you except the sign of Jonah. For just as Jonah was in the belly of the beast for so long, so the Son of God will be dead and then raised up again. And now a lot of people have taken that verse and they take that verse to say, you see, it's not about the signs. What a load of rubbish. Do you know why Jesus told them, I won't show you any sign? They've seen him open the eyes of the blind. They've seen him walk on water. They've seen him multiply food. They've seen him give sight to the blind and heal the sick. They've seen him cast out devils. And they still want more signs. And that's why he said to them, no more signs will be given to you. He didn't say, I won't give you signs. He's been giving them signs from day one. Hello? Why should he stop? Unfortunately, there are some people that even though they see, they still choose not to believe. You can't do nothing for somebody like that. Do you know why my life changed? Can I tell you why my life changed? I grew up in an NG kerk. A nice NG kerk. A somewhat enlightened NG kerk. We even had a band, and I'm talking in the 80s, how's that? That was radical. But we didn't really experience God. Listen to me. I didn't experience God. I heard about him. Hello? Heard about him. But I never really experienced him. And besides that, I was a naughty boy. I drifted away from God when I was in my teens. By the time I was in my 20s, I was very far away from God. I was at a nightclub 7 nights a week. My life revolved around jolling and partying and all sorts of stuff. But I was religious. You know, I would come home drunk as a skunk, 4 o'clock in the morning, but I can't get into bed until I pray and read at least 2 verses from my Bible. And some days that took very long because there was like 6 verses. In. But I was religious. But I never encountered God. Then one day an evangelist came to our church. And I just happened to be there. No, I didn't just happen to be there. God made a plan to get me there. There's no coincidence in the kingdom of God. And this man gave a very nice sermon. And afterwards he said, everybody that feels God spoke to them, come forward now. I didn't have to wonder whether God spoke to me. My body was telling me God is talking to me. I had hot and cold flushes. And I don't have a problem with my feminine side or anything like that. Do you understand? This was very supernatural. My heart was beating in my ears. At one stage, I wanted to walk out of the church. Guess what happened when I tried to get up? I was stuck on the seat. I had never experienced anything supernatural in my life, and here I'm stuck in a NG Kerk on my seat when I want to leave. By the grace of God, I never went for therapy. Because that didn't make any sense to my mind. But when the man said, if God spoke to you, come forward, something came into me. And immediately my body got power and I could get up. And there I'm going towards the front. I get to the front. This man is praying for people. People are falling over. Funny things are happening. I have this urge to run away, but I knew I have to make a decision what I'm going to do with my life. And I said, you know what? In for a penny, in for a pound, I'm staying. The man comes, he stands in front of me, he prophesies over me. And then the power of God starts to come upon me. Boom, I'm down on the ground. I never even felt that I was falling. I never even felt the people catch me. The next moment I was, one moment I was standing, the next moment I was on the floor. Don't ask me how I got there. And my mind was racing. And then something very strange began to happen to me. It felt like waves begin to go over me. Like waves. And as this wave goes over me, as every wave comes over me, I feel lighter and lighter. You never know how much heaviness you've got until somebody takes it away. Then it's like, wow, wow, because you feel different. How's this? 12 o'clock that night, the dominie comes walking up to my father, gives him the keys to the church. He says, you better lock up because I'm going home now. Because I was still lying on the floor under the power of God. I was on the floor for probably 3 hours that night. And you know what was the biggest thing that went through my mind? God is real. Wow. God is real. And I didn't believe that because somebody gave me a nice sermon telling me that there is a God. I believed that because the finger of God touched me and I felt it. He touched me and I felt it. I felt His power go through my body. And you know what? After that, a lot of people told me this is rubbish. They wouldn't even listen to my testimony. That never perturbed me. It makes you sad, but it did not perturb me. I don't want her to leave. She must stay in the front. While you are here, Prozi, quickly. Come stand here. God gave you something, eh? Ooh, geez, like you are hot. Huh? You're burning. All right, stand there. Raise your hands. No, man. Come. Transfer that fire. There, receive. You, come here. Come. Don't fall on me now. You have to work first. Amen. That's it. Touch her. Oh, she doesn't have to touch her. You see, now the fire is jumping. Ooh. Okay. Now, where was I? Oh, yeah, I'm lying there on the floor and I felt God touch me, and it didn't matter how many people told me, this is rubbish. I know what I know. Hello? Because I'm not believing the words of some man, I'm believing what God did for me. And you can sit here tonight and think I'm talking rubbish. I don't care. I felt the touch of God. I felt the power of God come into my body, and I felt things inside me begin to change. How's that? God changed my personality. Man, was my wife excited that God touched me, because she got a new husband. We were married, yes. We were just married. God touched me and changed my life. I don't have to believe because you tell me to believe. I believe because of what God did in my life. God performed a sign, a wonder, a miracle upon me that changed my life forever. And for those that turned around and said, ah, you know what, this is just emotional upheaval, it will last a couple of months, it's been 17 years. Take that. When it comes from God, it's real. Hello? Yes, I know you can go to some crusades and the people get all excited and all this and that and wada, 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 and nothing really changes. Well, then God wasn't there to begin with. But when the power of God is there, there is change. Hello? There is change. We are talking about fire. We are talking about fire spreading. Yes, God wants the fire to spread. Jesus came to this earth to walk in a ministry that revealed God to the people. God wants us to walk in that same thing. What was the last thing Jesus said to the disciples before he left? Who can help me? The Great Commission. Go out into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But was that everything? This is where the church stops. Go out and preach. Go out and preach. Go out and preach. That's not where Jesus stopped. Then he said, for those who believe, in my name, they will cast out devils. It's part of the commission, cast out devils. If they drink any deadly thing, it will not harm them. Please don't go and drink poison and blame me if you die. But maybe if you're out there in the mission field and somebody tries to take your life, God will just say no. As a sign to open their eyes that God is with you. If a snake bites them, it will not kill them. But I still maintain that if you go and play with a poor father, you are stupid. The Apostle Paul was on an island and he got bitten by a venomous viper that could have killed him within 8 minutes. He shook it into the fire and he walked on. And pretty much the entire island believed because of the sign, not because of the preaching, because of the sign. And then he says, they will lay their hands on the sick and they will get better. Hello? That is part of the Great Commission. Is the Great Commission just to go out and preach? No. The Great Commission is to preach with signs and wonders following. And then the Bible says, and the disciples went out and they preached the gospel and the Lord worked with them. How's that? The Lord worked with them and confirmed his word with signs and wonders that followed. Listen to me carefully. God wants to confirm his word. Are you willing to allow him to confirm his word? That's where there are two problems. The number one problem is There's not a lot of people that want to be used by God to go out and do these things. The number two problem is if this stuff happens in the church, people turn around and say, ooh, but we don't like this stuff. This God doesn't work that way. That happened in the Old Testament. No, it didn't. It happens today. God is the same yesterday and today and forever. God is the same yesterday and today and forever. God wants to raise up a new generation. A new generation that is excited about God. A new generation that is excited about the working of the Holy Spirit. A new generation that says, I want to go out and I have an expectation. God is going to work with me. Would you like to be part of that generation? Just wave at me if you would like to be part of that generation. Won't it be brilliant if you walk into the office tomorrow burning with the fire of God? You shake the hand of the clown sitting next to you, and the next moment they just pop off right there under the fire of God, arrested in the power of the Holy Spirit, and God changes them. Amen. Can it happen? Yes, it can. Yes, it can. I think I've shared this before, but we have seen on a number of different occasions how people have come under the power of God and how they have been arrested on the spot. The one night when we were preaching in Alberton, there was a young man. He wanted to leave. And I think he spoke to Prozi. And he called Prozi over and he said, listen, yeah, there's something wrong. Prozi said, what's happening? The guy says, I'm stuck. The oak standing there like this. You know, he was like marching. Dunk. I'm stuck. Now he's standing there. He can't leave. Prozi comes, talks to me. He says, the oak is stuck. I said, well, obviously God doesn't want him to leave. So let's just see how this pans out. And he stood there and he stood there and he stood there. And at one stage, Prozi went and we anointed the people and we started praying for people. And I think it was when you touched him or something. This man went ballistic. He wasn't going to stay for the ministry. He was going to go home. You know why he went ballistic? Because the demon inside of him charged up. Do you know why the demon inside of him charged up? Because the Spirit of God, the fire, began to burn that devil. Okay, I can't ask you because you don't always understand. But I'll ask your wife. If you go sit on a flame, can you sit still? Even if you try, could you? So why do we expect the demons to be quiet and subdued when the fire of God is burning them? They can't. They can't help it. They freak out. We had a devil freak out there at the back just now while the worship was going on. You don't even know about it. It was sorted out in two ticks. But what caused the demon to pop? Say with me, there was fire. Ooh, there was fire. The man freaked out. Guess what popped? The demon of suicide. Why couldn't he leave the church? Because it's not God's will for him to kill himself. Satan was doing everything in his power to get that man to kill himself. In that week, he tried to kill himself two or three times with overdose. And that night when he walked into the church, God said, ooh, now I have an opportunity to work. Because you are there where the anointing is. And the fire is going to jump on you whether you like it or not. We cast it out. Amen. Somebody say praise God. God is waiting for a new generation. A new generation that doesn't look upon this stuff as weird and flaky, but as part of normal life. Because if you walked with Jesus, the stuff that you saw him do, it might have been weird the first day or the second day, but after 3 years, it becomes a lifestyle. And that's the way it should be. It should be a lifestyle. Amen. Every single person that is sitting here today, you have been called to live a supernatural life. Not the life that you are living now, a supernatural life. Amen. A life where the power of God is made manifest through His presence in you and His anointing flowing through you. You are called to be different. You are called to be unpredictable. When the devil sees you wake up in the morning, he must run because he doesn't know what is going to happen next. Beelzebub, bring me my Valiums. She's just woken up. And bring a nice dosage of Malox. Why not? Because we don't believe. Because we don't believe. Because we think that church is just coming here, sitting there, hearing a nice message, going home and forgetting all about it. That's not what it's about. The kingdom of God is real. And let me remind you that Jesus himself said these words. That we should pray every day for the kingdom of God to come. In the kingdom of God, a person that has been an outcast for 18 years, suffering with infirmity for 18 years, having no self-esteem for 18 years, can be set free with one touch. We would prescribe therapy. We would put them on all sorts of experimental drugs that have weird side effects. You know, they grow like arm hair, look like a gorilla, this, that. The kingdom of God is a different answer. What is it? One touch. Say with me. One touch. Say it again. One touch. Where the anointing is, where the fire is, sometimes one touch is enough to do it. One touch is enough to do it. Come and help me here in the front, please. Oh, we're going to run out of space here. All right. How are you feeling, Auntie? Oh, she's drunk. Did you drink anything before you came? No. What does the Bible say happens when you come under the power of the Holy Spirit? Scripture says, do not become drunk in wine, in which is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Just hold it up for me. On the day of Pentecost, there was an outpouring of fire. Can you remember that? Somebody quickly give me a Bible. Anybody got a Bible? Thank you. Open it for me at the book of Acts chapter 2, please. Ooh, kijk hoe klein is die geskryf. You must have very good eyes, eh? Oh, you got Coke bottles. Oh, that explains it all. Yes. Acts chapter 2. New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. There we go. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Put it down. It's okay. Yes, Acts chapter 2. Let's quickly look at that. That's fine. That's fine. Thank you. All right, listen to this. Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. What does the word one accord mean? Say again. Agreement. It really means unity. Hello? They were together in unity. What did I share with you earlier? Psalm 133. When does the power of God be released? When is the anointing allowed to flow? When there is unity. I want you to understand something. The church is never going to truly experience the power of God until we can come to a place that we live together in unity. Now, listen to this. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, please say with me, suddenly. I'm going to say something about that now. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Suddenly. What God does doesn't have to be planned. And that's where we miss the plot completely, because we plan. You know, I was speaking to my brother. I'm not going to say what church he goes to. But I was speaking to my brother, and he's part of the leadership in his church, and they have everything planned for the next year in advance. But sometimes God suddenly wants to do something, and then we say no because, ooh, that's not on the itinerary today. And then you wonder why the power of God isn't there. Sometimes God just suddenly wants to heal somebody, or suddenly he wants to give a word. And if the Holy Ghost is in charge, these things happen. But when man is in charge, nothing happens. Right. And suddenly there came from a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Let me teach you something. The word wind in the Greek is the word pneuma. The word pneuma refers to wind, but it is also the word for spirit. It is also the word for breath. So if a sound like a rushing mighty wind came from above, who was coming from above? The Spirit of God. Could you hear him? You could hear him. Amen? You could hear him. Now, then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and set, and one set upon each of them. We know that the Holy Spirit is coming because he's called the wind. And the next moment he manifested as what? As fire. The next moment the Holy Ghost manifested as fire. Look at this. There appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. On this specific day, the Spirit of God came in fire and touched people. Did it impact the people around them? Jerusalem would never be the same again. Not because of the disciples, but because of the fire of God that filled them. And then I don't have time to read you the whole chapter. But then later on, some of the people in the town square that saw this happen said, Peter, when he spoke, let me show you this. Peter, when he spoke, he makes the following statement. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea, and all of you who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known unto you. And heed my words. For these men are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day." These men are not drunk as you suppose. What did the people think when they saw the disciples under the power of the Holy Spirit? That they were drunk. Why? Because it's one of the manifestations of the Holy Spirit of God. People become literally drunk. I have seen people so drunk that they cannot stand up. This woman can't stand up. If we pick her up and we leave her, she's going to plonk down again. Why? Because she is drunk. Why? Because she's under the power of the Holy Spirit, and it's just one of the ways that the flesh experiences the anointing. You heard a couple of people tonight say, "I am burning." It's another way that the flesh experiences the anointing. Hello? What was the result of Pentecost? The Bible says up to 3,000 new converts a day was added to the numbers. Can I tell you why? Because fire is contagious. When you begin to burn with fire and you touch somebody else, the fire spreads. And that's where we get the word wild fire. It's an uncontrollable spread of the fire of the presence of God, moving from one person to the next, to the next, to the next. Why do we think that this only happened 2,000 years ago? Doesn't God still want to save the lost? Isn't He still the same God? Doesn't the scripture say in the book of Hebrews 13:8 that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever? If He was willing to have mercy on the disciples on the day of Pentecost and on Jerusalem because of the day of Pentecost, won't He have mercy on people today? Can I tell you what has changed? The disciples were thirsty. Today people aren't. The disciples had an expectation. Today people don't. If something happens, it happens. If not, whatever. No, man, check your attitude. You must be thirsty. Jesus said, be thirsty. The fire of God is beginning to burn. It's burning for a reason. Because a lot of you sitting here, you need to change. You've tried to change and you can't. You need some supernatural power to help you. It's here. Say to your neighbor, good news. Change is here. But you have to receive it. Listen to me, you have to receive it. You can come and stand here tonight. We can touch you. We can pray for you. And you can walk home the same person that you are. Because the Holy Spirit's not going to force Himself on you. You will burn, but that doesn't mean that you will allow change. I want to end off. Well, I say end off. Don't quote me on that. I'm not sure. But I'm winding down by saying this to you. In the book of Revelation chapter 3 verse 20, we read about the letters to the seven churches, the letters that Christ writes to the seven churches. And in the book of Acts chapter 3 verse 20, Jesus says the following, behold, I stand at the door and I am knocking. If you will open up, I will enter in. That will never change. You are the one that has to open up. You can be in the midst of an inferno of the presence of God. It is still you that has to open up and receive. Hello? And unfortunately, there are a lot of people, they are in the fire of God. They turn around, they walk away, they receive nothing. They are burnt, but the fire hasn't come in. The fire must burn from inside. It cannot purify you from outside. It has to burn inside. It cannot empower you from outside. You have to allow it to come inside. But it's not that difficult. It's a choice. We sang a song tonight where we said to the Lord that we want to be a new generation. You cannot be a new generation if you are going to power that generation from the flesh. If you are going to power that generation from your mind. If you are going to decide with your mind, we should be doing this and we should be doing that. The only way a new generation will rise up and become what God wants them to be is if they are empowered by the Holy Ghost. You must be empowered by the Holy Ghost. And you have seen tonight, He is willing to do that. You saw it with your own eyes. Now, some of you haven't felt it yet because you're still sitting in your chair. But there's a couple of people. There's one shaking, rattling and rolling here. There's another one drunk as a skunk. So how was your church service last night? Ah, lucky we got drunk. Ooh, I want to come to that church. Yes, come. Come. Because if you drink from the water that Jesus gives, you will never thirst again. You will never thirst again.